come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all of your strength." In Luke 20:27, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." In Mark 12:30, it said, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And then in Deuteronomy 6:5, God said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength." I think he wants us to get it. He wants us to get it. Give your life to Jesus now. Now, there are probably most of us in here have given our heart to Christ. We're here because we want to know more about him. But I'm here to say, because this is a word that God had spoken to me, I want your whole life. I want your whole life. When we look into Acts, we're going to see that there were followers of Jesus. They did something more than walk up to the front. They did something more than raise their hand. There needs to be a public recognition of that decision. I believe that personally. I believe that we need to publicly acknowledge that we have accepted Christ into our heart. But then what happens after that? Are you following him? Are you investing time in the Word of God? Are you investing time in prayer? Are you investing that time to get to know the one that you love the most? We always make time, don't we, for the ones that we love the most, until we start taking advantage of them. Have you ever been in that place? "I love that person so much." Maybe our husband. "Oh, I love him so much. Yes, he's the love of my life. And yet, I'll get so used to him being there that I take advantage of the fact that he's always there. I can always talk to him." God is always there, and he is waiting to hear from you. And he wants to hear from you today. And so I want to encourage you to give yourself wholly unto God. Give him your heart. Give him the seat of your emotion. This is when we talk about the soul, we kind of talk about this portion of our body. Because what happens when our emotions are up, when we're upset emotionally, what happens? We get tummy aches. I just don't feel right. My stomach is in knots. That's the seat of our emotions. That's who we are. That's our soul, that place there. And as we accept him into our heart and we accept him into it moves us in our soul, and it changes our minds, changes our mindset, and it gives us strength. So if you're feeling a little weak, get into the Word of God, speak to him, listen to him, and see what he has to say to you. So, on New Year's Day, my internet went down. I almost live for the parade. And I did not get to see the parade. Bummer. But you know what? I kind of sat down and I talked to the Lord, and I wasn't complaining about the internet, honestly. I really wasn't. It was just kind of like, I don't get to see the parade. Oh, well. You know, I was proud of myself. I just went, oh, well. But I did complain to Bethany. also. But so I sat and talked to the Lord. And as I sat and talked with the Lord, you know what I'm saying when I say I sat and talked with the Lord? I was praying, and I was just pouring out my heart in other areas, and the Lord spoke to me. And you know what I mean when I say that the Lord spoke to me? There was a thought that came into my mind that I knew was God, because we recognize the one that we listen to the most. So we recognize, when God speaks to us, we recognize his voice. And so he said to me, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." 1 Corinthians 2:9. And I thought about that, and I looked at it, and right away I texted it to Bethany, who I wanted to encourage her that I was doing fine, not seeing the parade. And so I shared it with Bethany. She sent me this printable design of the scripture so that I can put it anywhere that I want and see it every day. And so then as I was just thinking about it, I turned on the radio, turned on K-Wave 107.9, if in case you don't get it. You're not used to listening to it, and Bill is on at 4:30, by the way. So I am listening to K-Wave, and the first thing that comes on is Greg Laurie, and the first words that come out of his mouth is, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him." That is my verse for this year. I love getting a verse every year. I ask the Lord for a verse every year that I can move in that direction that he has given me. And as I sat down and wrote about this verse and what it was speaking to me, I look at this verse, and like you, I tend to look at a verse like that and think, "Oh, God has great things planned for me." Don't we look at that verse and say that? Well, he does. But I have the sense that God has prepared some things for me this year that I am not going to think are great. But they are still great things that God has prepared for me. He's prepared it, and he's prepared me for it. And so as we just center in on that thought, the one thing that comes to my mind is, no matter what happens this year, no matter what happens, I know that God has gone before me. He has prepared me, and he has prepared whatever it is that's going on, and this is what it's saying to me. He's in control. He's in complete control. So no matter what comes up, he's in complete control, and I'm okay with that. And I don't need to get upset with things. Yes, am I going to get bummed out about stuff? Yes, I am. Am I going to get discouraged? Probably. But I know at the end of the day that God is in control. So whatever is going on in your mind or in your heart right now today, just know that God is in control of it. So as we look into the book of Acts, the introduction to the book of Acts, and you know that you have that page if you want to take notes in your book. And I hope that you were not discouraged when you looked at the book and you went, "This thing is big. I could lift weights with this book." It's 16 chapters. The lessons are no bigger than they normally are. It's just 16 chapters. Relax, enjoy it, don't panic. So the book of Acts, I find it very interesting that the second book in a series should be so full of firsts. Now, why do I say it is the second book in a series? Because it was written by Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he went right into, and the book of Acts is actually a sequel, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. The story picks up where the Gospel of Luke leaves off. Luke ends his gospel with the ascension of Jesus into heaven. As Jesus rises up into the clouds, Jesus gives that final instruction to his disciples. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, who will fill them with power. the Holy Spirit that will fill them with power. Afterward, they are to tell everyone what they have witnessed during those few years. Here are the firsts that are going on in the book of Acts. The first sermon by a disciple. The first miracle by a disciple. The first steps toward organizing the Christian movement. Like back in the Jesus movement, you know, we called it the Jesus movement. There are a number of you ladies in here who are too young to have been through the Jesus movement. You don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the tent. You don't know what we're talking about when all of these things were going on. I want to encourage you to see the movie Woodlawn. See the movie Woodlawn, because I'm telling you, that's exactly what was happening. I mean, you would walk down the street and it was almost like people would come right up to you and say, how do I accept Christ? There was a move of the Holy Spirit that was going on at that time, and that's what we have in the book of Acts here. It is a move of the Holy Spirit, and what's happened since that time? The move of the Holy Spirit that happened during the Jesus movement has now been what? Organized. And so we're in groups now. Things are a little calmer, maybe, even. And that's exactly what was happening there, the organizing the Christian movement. They began to organize people and getting them in groups so that they could best minister. And that's why you need that organization. There was the first orchestrated persecution of believers. There was the first Christian martyr. Stephen would be that person. The first non-Jewish or Gentile convert, Cornelius, the Roman centurion. The first missionary trip. I think it's funny that this was the first missionary trip because you can look at it and you can say Paul was the one who did the first missionary trip, but really there were a number of people in that group that made missionary trips because when they left Jerusalem, they followed the Great Commission that says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that whole missionary trip was by a number of people. It's also interesting to see how quickly the original disciples of Jesus become lost in the picture. I read an illustration about it, and it makes so much sense, of them being like, now I need you to picture this. Okay, so the camera is honed in on a dozen golden stems of wheat, and then it pans out. And as it pans out, those 12 get lost in that. They get overshadowed by it. They get eclipsed by the rest of it. That's what happened with the disciples. The disciples are continued to be respected throughout their lifetime as leaders of the movement because of their intimate association with Jesus. They were eyewitnesses of what Jesus had done. And so they continued to be a part of that. And yet they don't get all of the attention because what? It's not about them, is it? It's all about Jesus. And so, but other leaders quickly rise up, and as I said, they kind of eclipsed. And so the disciples are seldom, the disciples we're so familiar with, are seldom mentioned in the rest of the Bible because of that picture that we just saw. And so the book of Acts introduces, other leaders quickly rise up, and the book of Acts introduces those wonder-working, charismatic leaders. And we know one of them, his name was Paul. He started out as Saul. His name would be changed to Paul, his Roman name. Acts also reminds us where the wonder-working power has coming from. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Where does it come from? It comes from Jesus. It is the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood of Jesus that was shed that gives us that wonder-working power upon us. That's where it all comes from. At each bend in the road, early believers turn for guidance to the Holy Spirit. And like Jesus, the Holy Spirit never misleads us. Like Jesus, the Holy Spirit will never mislead us. But we do need to pay attention. God's Spirit made and makes bold witnesses out of ordinary people. We see that all throughout Acts, which is the reason behind the success, the phenomenal success of the first century church. And it is the secret behind the phenomenal success of any church at any century, including the 21st century. We must keep our eyes on Christ. So Luke will pick up the account of what happened next after Jesus' ascension 10 days later. The Holy Spirit arrived with all kinds of excitement. The wind comes blowing through. The disciples praise God in languages that they had never learned. The Jews were taken back by it. Of course, they were there. All the Jewish pilgrims were in town. What were they in town for? Why were they all there? Why did God do it this way? Because they were all there. They were there for, I think I've had a lot of coffee and I'm talking fast, huh? From all over the Roman Empire, they were there in the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because it was the Feast of Pentecost. What is the Feast of Pentecost? It is Thanksgiving. It's the harvest of festival of Thanksgiving. They did not have a turkey. They did not have mashed potatoes and gravy and all of that, but it was a festival. It was an exciting time to be there, and they would all be in there from different areas and hear the gospel and the praises to God in their own languages. It was a miracle that happened. Luke will tell us of how Peter preached the first sermon at this newborn church, and it grew to 3,000 people. Here's my first sermon. Okay, so we could probably comfortably put 1,000 people into this room. Imagine someone teaches a service, teaches a message, and next week, so there's maybe there's, you know, kind of like the number that's in here now. And then the next time they speak, it's like the whole church is packed full, 3,000 people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is only the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Sometimes when I think back to people that I listened to during the Jesus movement, I think, you know, there are times when I go, oh, yeah, okay, so. They weren't dynamic speakers. But you know what we heard? We heard the Holy Spirit speaking through these ordinary people. Just ordinary people. And so it grew to 3,000 followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus. Not just people who came to the meetings. Followers of Jesus. The Jewish council that had arranged the execution of Jesus gets a little upset about this. They're not knowing what to do. They believe it's just another heretical Jewish movement. They begin to persecute the believers, taking them to trial, imprisoning them. And during the trial of Stephen, we'll see that Stephen's testimony, so infuriated them that they took him outside and they stoned him. Well, when they stoned Stephen, many of the people in Jerusalem took off. They said, we're not safe here. We need to get out of here right now. But they took something with them. What did they take with them? They took the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And by doing that, they fulfilled the last recorded words of Jesus, which we call the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's here in Acts 1:8, and I just noticed that it's out on our missionary deposit box for your funds right out there. And so they went out to all the world, and we'll meet Saul, who was a Jew. Saul was so zealous for God, tries to hunt them down, but on one trip to Damascus, God gets a hold of him, And when God gets a hold of him and he converts, he would take on his Roman name, Paul, and would become the leader of predominantly a Gentile congregation in Syria. This was a Jew of Jews. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had all of the information down. He loved God. And yet God put him where? In charge of Gentiles. Isn't that what God does? Well, I know all about this other thing. Let me do this other thing. I know all about this. And God says, that's why I put you there, because you don't know all about that. And I want you to tell them about me and not what you know. And so he would speak throughout Cyprus and Western Turkey. And even though there was resistance from the Orthodox Jew, people responded to the gospel. Paul continued his traveling ministry for about 30 years. Paul would start congregations throughout the Roman Empire. He was eventually arrested in Jerusalem and sent to Rome for a trial that may have ended in execution. Why do I say may have ended in execution? We don't know if it ended in execution. We have from history that what we've been told is that he was beheaded, but the book of Acts ends with him still in prison. Because the book of Acts is about what? It's not about Paul. It's not about the other disciples. It's about Jesus. But because Paul was obedient, coupled with the fact that many left Jerusalem out of fear, within that 30-year span, the Christians were worshiping in house churches throughout what is now Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and even Rome, which was some 2,000 miles away. So we learn the job of the Holy Spirit. And just as the job of the Holy Spirit, and we're closing with this, the third person of the Godhead, so it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are all God, fills Jesus at the Holy Spirit fills Jesus at the beginning of his ministry in Luke 4:1. And the Spirit also fills the apostles and other followers of Jesus, giving them supernatural power that helps convince many about the truth of their message. And we'll see that in chapter 2 when we get there. The Spirit continues to filling believers from all walks of life, not only performing wonders through them, but also helping them make important decisions. That will come up in chapter 15 and 16. We'll be leaving this study in chapter 16, at the end of the day, in May, we will be leaving this study. And then in the fall, we will pick up with a new book, probably a thinner book, and we will pick up the rest of Acts in our fall study. Acts of the Apostles is what this study is called, and yet it is really the Acts of the Spirit of Christ working through the apostles. This is because of Luke's strong emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've established that Luke is the author, and it was reestablished in the 20th century through archaeological discoveries. The timing was likely around AD 62. The resurrected Savior is the central theme. Jesus is the central theme. He was the resurrected Savior, and he is the central theme of Acts. To be witnesses to the world of the fact that he is our resurrected Savior is the general theme of this book. That's where it's all at. The whole thing is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, next week, we'll start in chapter 1. So you do have some homework to do. And if you can do that homework, that's great. But if you can't do that homework, at least read chapter 1. Okay? And be prepared for what God has for you here. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing today. I thank you, Father, for what you've set before us, Lord. We thank you for this book. We want to impart your presence to others, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give us all we need to do that as we watch our country change, because we are people who follow after you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving up, letting go, standing up.
stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.